Welcome back to the Crimson Playhouse podcast. I'm your host, Crimson Renee, and tonight we're diving into chapter 12 of The Velvet Muse. But first, let's catch up on the whirlwind of chapter 11. Liza's emotional tug of war deepened even more after a sleepless night torn between Mason's unexpected confession and Maxwell's steady presence. She headed to the club, only to find out that there's water damage threatening the renovation timeline. The stress didn't stop there. Marcy and her daughter Tara popped by, offering a brief moment of levity. But as night fell, Mason dropped another emotional bombshell. He confessed his jealousy over Maxwell and his inability to stop thinking about Liza. And just when she thought she had a moment to breathe, Marcy showed up for a girls' night, wine, snacks, the whole vibe, and reminded her of one hard truth. Deep down, Liza already knows who she wants. She's just too scared to claim it. If you're loving this journey of second chances, heartbreak, and self-discovery, do your girl a favor. Follow the show, leave a review, and send it to a friend who lives for slow burn drama. And if you want more, head over to patreon.com/crimsonplayhouse for exclusive bonus chapters and early access. Also, if you're in the mood for some music, make sure you check out my brand new music video, Alone. It has that late night energy and was made for slow dancing with the lights down low. It's only available on YouTube for now, so head over, hit play, and vibe with me. All right, let's get into it. Chapter 12 starts now. Chapter 12. The Velvet Muse was finally taking shape, breathing in new life with every nail hammered and every board laid. The skeletal frame of the seating area had come together, and it was perfect. Mason had doubted me, but soon he'd see it exactly for what it was. Cozy, not cramped, intimate, warm, just the kind of place that invited people to get lost in the music and, maybe, in each other. I walked through the club, the scent of sawdust clinging to the air, mingling with the faint buzz of power tools. My fingers traced over the smooth surface of the newly installed bar. The vision was coming together like a symphony, each piece falling into place. The dim, amber lights that would cast a golden glow. The plush chairs where lovers would sit shoulder to shoulder, their conversations drowned out by the sultry hum of jazz. It wasn't perfect yet, but it was getting there. Much like my life. And then, like clockwork, my pulse betrayed me. I didn't have to look up to know he was near. Mason's presence was like a current in the air, charged and impossible to ignore. His voice followed a beat later, low and gravelly, curling around me like smoke.
How's it looking?
I turned to see him leaning against the doorway, clipboard in hand, boots dusted with sawdust, as if he belonged in every unfinished corner of this place. His shirt clung to him in all the right places, his sleeves pushed up to reveal forearm that shouldn't have been allowed to look that good. The way he adjusted his grip on the clipboard sent a pulse of heat through me that I fought hard to ignore. "It's coming together," I said, folding my arms over my chest to keep from fidgeting. "Slowly, but surely." He nodded, but his gaze didn't waver.
"We'll make sure it's done right."
I opened my mouth to thank him, but the words caught in my throat when I noticed the way he was watching me. His eyes weren't just looking. They were seeing me. Like I was something he couldn't quite figure out, but didn't want to stop trying to. The air between us thickened, crackling with an electric charge that had become all too familiar. My breath hitched, my fingers curling into my arms as my body betrayed me yet again. I wanted to look away, to break the tension, but I couldn't. I was caught.
held hostage by the weight of whatever Mason wasn't saying. And then, just like that, it was gone.
Mason, we need you over here.
One of his crew members called out, shattering the moment. His jaw ticked, frustration flickering in his eyes before he nodded, giving me one last look that left a burning imprint on my skin. Then he turned and walked away, leaving me standing there with my heart racing and my body at war with itself. I exhaled sharply, shaking my head as if I could physically remove him from my thoughts. I had a to-do list to get through, and no time to stand around dissecting Mason Harris like he was some kind of riddle I could solve if I stared long enough. That evening, after a barrage of persuasive texts, Maxwell swept me into another world, one where I didn't have to think about anything except the music, the lights and the energy buzzing through the venue like a heartbeat. His show was at a sleek, upscale jazz bar, the kind of place where the cocktails came in gold-rimmed glasses and the air felt charged with possibility.
There you are.
Maxwell greeted me as soon as I walked in. His tailored blazer hugged his broad shoulders perfectly, and the freshly twisted locks falling past his jawline made him look like a dream carved out of smooth jazz and confidence. His smile was enough to melt away some of the tension still clinging to me from earlier.
You clean up nice, boss lady.
I rolled my eyes but smiled. Don't get used to it. I'm usually covered in dust and stress.
Well, tonight, you're covered in elegance,
he said, offering me his arm.
Let me show you around.
Maxwell worked the room effortlessly, introducing me to musicians who carried the kind of stories and wisdom that only came from years on stage. Their passion was contagious, each conversation filling me with new ideas for the Velvet Muse. This was what I wanted. Raw, authentic energy that could breathe life into the club the same way it had once breathed life into my dad's dreams. When Maxwell finally took the stage, the room fell into a hush of anticipation. His saxophone was an extension of himself, the notes pouring out of him like a confession meant for only me. His eyes found mine in the crowd, and the world narrowed to just us. Every note seemed to say something he hadn't yet put into words, something warm and full of promise.
This next one,
Maxwell said into the mic, his gaze locked on mine,
is for someone who inspires me more than she knows.
My breath hitched. I couldn't look away, even as my heart beat wildly against my ribcage. The melody he played was smooth and sultry, wrapping around me like silk. For a moment, I let myself sink into it, let myself imagine what it would be like to have something this easy, this beautiful. After his set, he found me at the bar.
What did you think?
He asked, leaning against the counter, his smile easy, but his eyes searching mine.
You were incredible, I admitted. Seriously, Maxwell, you make it look effortless.
He tilted his head slightly, his gaze softening.
Nothing about you feels effortless. You make me want to try harder.
The weight of his words pressed against me, and I tried to ignore the flicker of guilt that came with them. He leaned in slightly, lowering his voice.
I meant what I said up there. I can't get you out of my mind. I'm ready to be more than friends, Liza, but I know you've got a lot going on. I'm not trying to rush you. I'll wait. For now.
His honesty made my chest ache. I wanted to give him the answer he deserved, but the truth tangled in my throat. Maxwell, I said softly, you're amazing. I don't want to hurt you.
You won't,
he said, his fingers brushing against mine briefly.
Just promise me you'll think about it.
I nodded, even though my heart
felt heavier than ever. I will.
When I got home that night, the weight of the evening wrapped itself around me like a heavy blanket I couldn't shake off. I kicked off my heels, letting them fall haphazardly by the door, and collapsed onto the couch, sinking into the cushions like they were the only thing holding me together. The air felt too quiet, and my mind was anything but. Maxwell had been perfect. His music, his words, his presence, it had been intoxicating. Being with him was easy, like slipping into a melody I already knew by heart. But as much as I wanted to get lost in the rhythm, it wasn't mine. His world didn't feel like home. And Mason? Mason was the storm I couldn't seem to weather, no matter how many times I told myself to move on. He was the thunder that echoed long after the rain had stopped. The ping of my phone pulled me from the spiraling thoughts. A text from Marcy lit up the screen. Girls' night tomorrow. Wine and no excuses. A faint smile tugged at my lips as I typed back. Wouldn't miss it. Just as I set my phone down, a knock sounded at the door. I froze, my stomach flipping over itself. It was late. Too late for an unplanned visitor. But somehow, I didn't need to check the peephole to know who it was. The air shifted, the same way it always did when Mason was near. I hesitated before opening the door, my fingers trembling as they wrapped around the knob. And there he was. Mason stood on the other side, his expression unreadable, but his eyes, those dark, familiar eyes, betrayed him. They flickered over me, taking in the dress, the makeup still smudged at the corners of my eyes, and something shifted in them, something raw.
"You look beautiful,"
he said softly, the words laced with tenderness that made my breath stop. I swallowed hard, stepping aside to let him in. He didn't wait for an invitation. He never had. He walked inside like he belonged here. And maybe he once had. I closed the door behind him, the lock clicking into place like it was sealing something bigger than just the two of us inside. Mason turned to face me, his gaze steady but filled with something restless, something that made my pulse pound in my ears.
"I'm done holding back,"
he said, his voice steady but weighted with emotion.
"From now on, I'm going to tell you exactly how I feel. I love you, Liza. It's always been you. Even when you left, it was still you. There hasn't been anyone else."
The words hit me like a wave, knocking the air from my lungs. My chest tightened, and I fought to keep my composure as the weight of his confession settled over me. "Mason," I whispered, but he shook his head.
"Let me finish,"
he said gently, exhaling sharply as if he'd been holding his breath for far too long. He ran a hand over his thick beard, his fingers combing through it before meeting my gaze again.
"You were with Maxwell tonight, right?"
His voice was calm, but there was something beneath it, something raw and vulnerable, like he was bracing himself for the answer. I hesitated, not because I wanted to lie, but because I knew that no answer would make this any easier. Mason nodded to himself as if he already knew.
"Seeing you with him, watching you light up around him, it made me realize I've been holding back because I was afraid. Afraid that I'd never be good enough for you. That you choose someone else. And maybe you will. Maybe you are."
His voice cracked slightly, just enough to twist the knife deeper.
"But if you do, it won't be because I didn't try."
My voice tightened, the emotion bubbling up too fast, too strong. I stared at him, speechless, as he chewed his lower lip,
deliberating what looked like the weight of the world until his shoulders dropped slightly, as if he was finally laying down the weight he'd been carrying.
"You should date him,"
he said, the words rough but resolute.
"You should go out with Maxwell, figure out what you really want. And if after all that it's still me, then I'll be here. But I need to do some work too, to make sure I can be the man you deserve."
The honesty of his words hit me like a punch to the gut. My heart pounded against my ribs, my emotions tangling together into something I couldn't name. Longing, anger, love, fear. It was all there, twisting and pulling me apart. "You should have told me this before," I whispered, my voice barely audible. "All those nights I waited for you. All those times I begged you to talk to me, to let me in. And now you show up, telling me this after everything?" Mason's jaw tightened. He didn't look away.
"I know,"
he said, his voice heavy with regret.
"I know I should have, but I didn't know how, Liza. And by the time I figured it out, you were already gone."
The truth of it sliced through me, sharp and unforgiving. I crossed my arms over my chest as if I could hold myself together with sheer will. "And now? You're telling me to go date someone else? To figure out what I want? Mason, I don't need your permission. If I wanted Maxwell, I wouldn't be standing here looking at you like this." His eyes darkened, something flickering in them that I couldn't quite read. He dropped his head with a sharp exhale before looking back at me.
"I don't want you to want him,"
he admitted, his voice rough and raw.
"But I need you to be sure. Because if I get you back, Liza, I don't ever want to lose you again."
The room felt unbearably small, the air thick with everything we weren't saying. I wanted to scream, to shove him, to make him understand that I had never wanted to leave in the first place, that he was the only person I'd ever wanted. But I couldn't give him the reassurance he was looking for, not when my head was spinning and my heart felt caught in a tug of war between the past and the future. "I don't know what I'm supposed to do with that, Mason," I whispered. He stepped closer, so close that I could feel the heat radiating off him.
"You don't have to do anything,"
he said softly.
"Just know that I'm here, and I'm not going anywhere this time."
For a moment, we stood there, the tension between us thick enough to drown in. "I need time," I whispered, barely trusting my voice. Mason held my gaze for a long moment, as if memorizing the way I looked right now, conflicted, uncertain, but still his. Then, finally, he nodded, as if he'd already known that would be my answer. Without another word, he turned and walked toward the door. He hesitated for the briefest second before leaving, and when the door clicked shut behind him, I sank onto the couch, pressing my palms against my face. Everything had changed, and I had no idea what to do about it. The silence in the room was deafening. I sat there for what felt like hours, replaying his words, his gaze, the sound of his voice breaking when he said he loved me. Later, as I lay in bed, staring at the ceiling, Mason's words echoed in my mind. He was right. I needed to figure out what I truly wanted. And until I did, the only thing I could focus on was the Velvet Muse. Maybe, just maybe, the clarity I was searching for would come with it.
If your chest isn't tight right now, I don't know what to tell you. Mason finally said the thing we've been begging him to say. He laid it all out there. No games, no hiding. But when the truth comes too late,
Even love can feel like pressure instead of peace. And Maxwell, he's standing there, open, consistent, and ready. So, where does that leave Liza? With a club to finish, a heart to sort through, and two men who see her future wrapped around their own. As always, thank you for listening to the Crimson Playhouse podcast. If this story is tugging at your heartstrings, do us a favor, follow the show, leave a little review, and send it to someone who lives for a good slow burn. And don't forget to check out patreon.com/crimsonplayhouse for bonus chapters and early episode drops. And while you're at it, go watch the official music video for my latest song, Alone, now playing exclusively on YouTube. Just search Crimson Renee and let the music do what words sometimes can't. I'm Crimson Renee, and I'll be back soon with chapter 13. Until then, my loves, keep listening.